Real Business Owners.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast. This is episode 46 with myself, Trevor Cowley. Kilo G's on mic two. And then on mic three, we have a guest today. We've got Mitch Rose. Welcome.
How you guys doing?
Good, man. Good. We're happy to have you. Guys, we wanted to bring Mitch on today to kind of highlight, you know, somebody that's a young entrepreneur, right? Somebody that's made some sacrifices, done some things outside of the box, so to speak, such as living in vans and ambulances and things like that. We'll get into it because I think it's a I think it's a cool story, you know. So, you know, I want to ask you questions throughout the podcast in regards to, you know, your age. We talked about other people that you see that's your age. You know, they're not really as focused on what they're trying to accomplish in life. Maybe they're just in the party scene or whatever it is. Like, I'm guilty of it. Mm-hmm, I've been there, you know.
Me too. Yeah. It's a balance.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you could still do that and have fun at a young age, but, you know, create priorities for yourself, right? You know, when it's time to get shit done, you get shit done. Yeah. When it's time to let your hair down and have fun, see, right now your hair's up.
Yeah.
So, you know, now it's time to get shit done.
Right,
so
right.
On the weekends, you can let it down.
Exactly.
So, let's just jump in and educate them a little bit. One, tell us a little bit about yourself, like where you're from, how you grew up. Do you have rich parents? Tell us a little bit about where you grew up.
Okay. Well, I'm 21.
Yeah.
Born in Norco, California. It's super tiny.
I lived in Riverside.
I don't know where that's at.
You lived in Norco?
No, he says he loves
but
it.
But I always stopped at Norco's Best Burgers, bro.
Yeah, give me Norco's a Philly, Best. It's like horse.
Give me a pastrami cheeseburger.
Really?
Oh, I really feel like indulging. Oh, dude, I did construction there. I worked on me and my pops. We built a building down there, yeah, for some company.
When you were a youngster?
Yeah. It's like Caden was a brand new baby, so it was 19 years ago.
Yeah.
It's like a little dot of country in the middle of Southern California,
California.
I guess. Yeah, it's like
they used to say the horse population
like
was more than the people population in there.
Is that how it still
in
is?
That county.
Or is it kind of
it's a little more it's up now.
It's like starting to populate. Yeah.
It's Hicktown, California though, dude. It's a cowboy town.
Yeah,
is it?
It is. Yeah.
Is it still cowboy town or is it morphing?
To an extent.
It's morphing a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely morphed, but what it used to be, it was definitely more like
It's
when you pulled in
Corona before you get on the 91 to go down to the beach cities.
So when you pulled in and your windows were down, you could smell in the air that it
East
was
kills right by.
Yeah. When the wind's blowing, you can smell all the shit, right?
Yeah, like, exactly.
Yeah, so but, I love those small country towns, you know. So,
but grew up there until.
Were you like a cowboy kid growing up or anything like that?
My whole family is all country.
Yeah.
Chris Ledoux, Merle Haggard, you know, the whole shebang. But I personally wasn't. Like, I don't know.
You don't seem like you have a vibe.
I had a little taste.
So the surfer vibe, you know.
Yeah, like, it's definitely my core. Like, I love country stuff, you know what I mean? But,
so how was your upbringing in terms of, did you guys actually like have animals that you had to take care of and do all that shit?
Or what? We actually, we had a horse when I was really, really little. And we had a, so my dad, he's a, or was a firefighter for Santa Monica Fire Department. And my mom, just stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
And then
so you weren't crazy rich or crazy poor. You just lived kind of a medium, regular,
and like,
grew up regular kid, you know.
I don't know what age it started, but my birthday is December 7th.
Yeah.
And Christmas is right there. And so back-to-back, I'd get all these
gift cards.
Yeah,
the month of December.
Yeah, they'd say, what do you want? And I'm like, money.
Yeah.
I'm all money.
I like that too.
So between my birthday and Christmas, I remember it'd be like $1,100 I get from all my family, from all over.
You're just milking December.
Yeah. And so I would take $100 from me and give $1,000 to my dad and say, because he used to tell me, I have a bank for you, which is actually like a mutual fund.
Okay.
But I'd say, take this $1,000, put it in my bank, because for some reason, like, just straight up 8 years old, I don't know what the hell, you know, but I was like, there's some
bigger purpose. Yeah.
And that's so hard for a kid, dude.
Yeah.
$100 and you want to buy all these toys or whatever the hell you care about.
Damn straight.
Took $100 for me and gave $1,000 to my dad. And
so he was putting it in investments for you?
Yeah.
And then,
So
did you end up touching that money when you turned 18?
Well, so when I was
still in there?
Or? Yeah. When I was 16, it was, or he asked me, he's like, do you want to take that money out and
to buy a car
Car, or do you want my old car? Because I'm going to buy a new one. I'm like, I'll take the old car.
Yeah.
I'm like, why do I need to be in some,
yeah,
you know,
something nice at 16.
I'm like, I'm a nothing right now. Yeah. I should be, you know, grateful to have a running
vehicle,
clean
in general.
Car. Yeah, yeah. So finished out of high school, and I actually moved here my senior year.
So do you finish high school here in St. George?
Yeah, yeah. I went
to Dixie, or
the day I turned 18, I moved into those apartments, Falls at Mesa Point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At the time, I was living with a girl, but still in high school, just like didn't even have a job yet.
That's
dangerous.
It sounds like
super dangerous
in high school.
I know.
Place.
And my dad.
So my guess is your house was the party rally house.
Yeah. After she moved out.
Yeah.
But no, it was. I mean, having that conversation with my parents, like.
What were you doing to make money the whole time during this?
The day that I moved to St. George, I went into Black Bear, which is where my mom worked. She was a server.
Okay.
And worked there as a host. All my family was like, Mitch can't even spell work. He's like, he can't even. They were like, he is so lazy.
You don't have to spell work. Yeah. You know, as long as you can barely spell work. Yeah. But.
No, the whole joke between my family was Mitch, you know, just lazy, just like. Yeah, Mitch can't even spell work. I can hear that in my head right now.
Does that motivate you?
To an extent, but I just knew, like, you know, if someone's saying something about you, if you know it's not true, why would you
get affected by it?
Yeah, you shouldn't, because just how it is. But so I was just like, all right, you know, and then I'm just at Black Bear, and first week I'm put in 50 hours, and, you know, 50 hours.
Getting paid, what, minimum wage or something?
Yeah, like $7.25.
Yeah. You'd have to work at least 100 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Just to try to survive.
Yeah, I think that was like $1,100 a month, I think. Yeah. And my dad was still helping me out since I was like still under child support and stuff. Yeah. And I was doing him a favor and us a favor for getting in-state tuition. But
so you did all that. And then, you know, we talked and you said that you ended up working at Black Bear. You were a host, and then you moved up to being a server, started making a little bit more money as a server.
Yeah.
And then you saved up money and you bought 5 acres?
Yeah, yeah.
What the hell did you buy 5 acres for?
Well, I was...
Were you living in the van when you bought the 5 acres too?
No, still in the apartment.
Okay.
So I was... by August, that was when college was starting. But I'm like, okay, I'm 7 months into work experience of my life.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's no way I'm going to qualify income-wise. You need 2 years of, you know,
taxes.
Tax forms. And so my dad would have to co-sign. And if I were to buy a house for $200,000, that'd be 20% down. It's 40 grand, which I didn't have yet. But my grandpa, he's like, I want to show you something. I was up there one time and drove me to this lot over like by our exit up by Kolob Canyon.
Yeah.
It's like the closest lot you can get. And he's like, Mitch, there's 5 acres right here. It's for sale for $55,000. If you buy this, you will not regret it. And I'm like, this fool has never led me wrong, ever. Like, I'm like, let's go. So talked to my dad about it. He was on board. So I bought it and it got him down to 52.5.
Okay.
30%.
How long ago was
down.
That?
That was August of 2018.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you still have that property?
Yeah. Which value's gone up now. I guess they were selling for about 100. So
yeah.
Not bad. And then...
what's your goal with it? Is your goal to
ultimately sell it? Well...
And make a bunch of money from it? Or is your goal to...
It's
build on it or what?
I actually have house plans done. So my initial, I mean, it still is my dream and my goal. It's basically like a lofted cabin with a basement.
Mm-hmm.
And so the basement has 2 bedrooms down there. It can be completely separate from the top half, and top's totally like luxurious kind of modernized cabin. So it's got a cool kind of feel, sliding glass doors, roof's like 30 feet high. Like it's super cool concept, but I was planning on Airbnb being the top.
Yeah.
To try to push more traffic, because Kolob Canyons is Zion National Park.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if we can try to capitalize on this.
Keeping that full and have it pay for itself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like, you know, the side of Zion that people don't see.
Yeah.
You know, Kolob Canyons, you know, or if one day they connected
those
roads.
You're already figuring out how to market it?
The side of Zion people don't see. Yeah, you know? Just something.
We
you
own
know?
A cabin in Kolob's and rented it out. It rented pretty good.
Yeah, no,
it
with
a little community, you put the kibosh to it. They wouldn't let us rent it out on Airbnb or Kolob anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, the problem up there in Kolob, though, I mean, it would also, I mean, the snow.
Yeah. Well, it's down. It's in New Harmony.
Yeah, exactly. Up top, it was the snow. So we could only rent it for like 6 months out of the year, but it would still pay for the entire year's worth of mortgage.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, so it was pretty cool. It was cool to have, but with inside the community, there's like an HOA.
Okay.
And so they didn't want us renting it out because people, you know, we found bags of weed in there after people rented it and beer cans all over the cabin.
If we couldn't get a cleaner to run up there, we'd have to go and clean it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the next guest. And so it was like, shit, who's going to drive an hour and a half to go clean that damn cabin?
Yeah.
You know,
that was the difficult part, was to try to find somebody to go up there and clean it. So we had to alternate between the partners of the cabin just to go up there and clean after or whatever. Then they would get the cleaning fee. But it got to the point where it was just more of a pain in the ass to have than it was to keep it. But so we ended up selling it a couple years ago. But let's jump.
You got property taxes and stuff you have to pay every year on your land that's just sitting there.
Yeah,
you cringe a little bit of that, or is
it's
it not?
It's probably not bad with how much. With
depends on what's zoned, you know. But you know,
what do you pay a year? Just like a couple $100?
No, it's like $350, $400.
Oh, something. Right. Yeah,
it's not too bad for 5 acres.
Yeah,
it's not too bad.
Yeah, it's not. As the value continues to go up, the property tax will continue to go up.
Bottom line, it's appreciating. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, do you still work at Black Bear now, or did you? When did you transition out of working at Black Bear?
So I was still in college and was just basically like I was trying to be a physical therapist, and I'm like, okay, 7 years of debt to come out making 70-80 grand. I'm like, that doesn't add up.
Yeah.
It doesn't add up. Especially in Utah.
At least you can do math. You might not be able to spell work, but you can do math.
Yeah, I might not be able to spell work, know, but I can do
math. You can sure add.
Exactly. Yeah. But, so I was just like, this ain't happening. And in all of this, I had moved out of my apartment. I had bought my first van, started converting it.
What was the point of the van thing, though? Was the point of the van money. was to save money, or was it more for an experience or a little bit of both?
Both, yeah. But money was – I was just like – I can't keep making a millionaire, not me.
I like it, dude. You're constantly always thinking, like, what can I do to, like, cut costs and keep putting into my future?
Yeah,
you know? I was talking about this with my ex-sister-in-law last night because she's like, man, I wish I would have been putting money away. Now I want to start my own business, and it's awesome, right? And I was like, I wish I would have started younger, too.
Yeah.
You got to have that discipline of, like, what can I sacrifice that I want right now and just peel off 10, 20% or whatever into my future?
Yeah.
And most people don't do that at your age.
People don't do it at any age.
Yeah.
And dude,
that's
50,
the real problem. 50
years old is young.
And they have goals.
Still. Like,
but
can you imagine if you were peeling that, you know, putting money to work for you for
the 20 years?
30 until, years, you're 51, you're like, damn, I'm set, but I can still do whatever the hell I want. Exactly. Work, I you know, like. People don't realize, dude, 50 comes up quick.
The issue is people can't, like we've talked about, think past next week.
I know.
Or next month, right? So they're just, you know.
Unfortunately.
If they get it, like we've talked about, a raise of, you know, $200 a month, now they can afford $200 more a month
of a car payment.
Or whatever, rather than getting $200 more a month and then downgrading your car and be like, holy shit, now I could save $1,000 a month.
Like, why am I paying all this much rent when I could live in my van, dude?
Yeah.
Put more money to work.
Exactly.
Dude, put investments like land.
That's what I think is cool is how was it like when you first did it and moved in? Were you like second guessing, like, what the hell did I do? Why did I move into a van?
Yeah, first night in that thing, I was like, what the
damn
fuck?
Can I do this?
I remember first night I slept in there. I had just put the bed in, no insulation on the windows, anything. Yeah. And I drove all the way out to BFE to some beehive kilns to do some. I had to take a picture with some of these kilns to get some extra credit. And I was like, might as well make a trip out of it. Let's go. Got the van ready. So I spent the night out there. It was like 17 degrees. I woke up at like 3 in the morning. I couldn't breathe because my throat was dried out from how cold it was in there.
Damn.
So I started up my van, drove it 5 miles down the road, came back up. So it was heated
just
up.
To warm it up.
Back to bed, yeah. But so, that's
in the middle
life.
Of the night driving. Yeah. You're like, oh, God, I don't know if I can do this.
But I think with using it, it's a tool. It's a tool, but it's also such a cool experience, and it makes you so grateful for everything you have in a daily life. Like now, like renting a room for my brother's house, like
it's like
showerhead
huge.
Hits my face, I'm like, oh, you know what I mean, like it's just like heavenly. And I'm every time I get in the shower, do wash my hands,
you think about
whatever
that.
It is, I got a toilet at my access, hell yeah, that's awesome, you know. And it's like things that we all take for granted every single day, but with moving up in the business while you using the van as a tool to keep you grateful is like the perfect happy medium balance. And like what you were saying about people with their goals and stuff. Like, I would set a goal, but it's like, everyone's like, you got to leap to it. It's like, why would you leap when you can build the fucking bridge? You know what I mean? Like, build that bridge so you can just walk to it. You don't have to. And they set these goals that are just so.
You might have to leap to it if your overhead is so high. And and you're just hoping you need that to do it what you works, need to do.
Exactly.
Right? Like, you got to do what you But if do. Your overhead each month is a couple hundred bucks a month with your gas, you know.
If you set yourself up correctly. Exactly. You know? And that's people just dive in. I don't know if it's people not being taught about it or just not being aware of it.
No, it's people aren't willing to take a step backwards because it hurts their ego.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah. Like this one.
Yeah, because, you know, most people, their ego's telling them to buy new shit, right? And you're over here like, how can I save more money?
Yeah.
Like, you there's no way that, you know, you could have a large ego wanting to impress a bunch of other people but yet take a large step backwards and start living in a van.
Yeah.
Right? So my guess is just the fact that you were doing something like that, you're probably not a big person that really cares about what other people think. Did that play a part in, you know? I mean, you're more concerned about your future than what other people think about you. Is that true?
Absolutely, because who's going to take care of me? Who's going to do for me, not them?
What their thoughts of you
and what
aren't going to take care of your future.
Exactly. And when you can really just pop the ego, like, it's a whole next level of life. Like,
the experience that you probably had living it. So you lived in the Astro van for how long? Eight months?
8 months, yeah.
And then you decided to upgrade to the mansion of vans, which was an ambulance. Yep. You bought a used ambulance, right?
Yeah.
And so you had a little bit more headroom, leg room. You made it.
That's the grateful thing. Like, if someone started, I know people who started backpacking.
Yeah.
Started backpacking, moved into the van, they're stoked as shit. And then they go from van to a boat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, it's starting from that smaller one to, like, now the van is, like, it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect, you know? But it's definitely, like, taking the ego out of it, like, the looks I get from people, like, just driving
what,
on an everyday.
What, they just think that you're crazy or they like think it's cool or what? Or both?
Both. They're like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
Or, fuck yeah, man, that shit's awesome. You know? But if you don't know what's going on, you're like, why is there an ambulance with a painting on the side? Or, you know what I mean? And cops will wave because they think it's still
an ambulance
in service. Yeah, and I'm like, dude. Or even other ambulances cross and they're like, hey. I'm like, nah, man. But I'm like, I understand you.
Yeah.
But, it's definitely taking the ego out is essential because, I don't know, when you just really start doing and acting for what you want to do rather than what someone else
wants
you
to do. What you think other people,
I mean, we can get
there's
into it.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of growth that happens from you just being by yourself in a van for a long period of time. What do you do? Just read books or did you have a TV in there? Mm-hmm. Or I mean, how was the setup?
I do have a TV in there, but I never really use it. But I honestly like just sitting up on the roof, like when I'm parked above the lake, listening to some music and just staring out into the sunset.
Yeah.
Just like just processing.
Yeah.
Just taking those steps back every day. Mm. Take the steps back. What did I do today that I could do better tomorrow? Or I'm just constantly running numbers or processing some goal.
The thing is you're actually a thinker, right?
Maybe an overthinker at times, but definitely a thinker.
Well, no, I mean, the problem is most people underthink.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not thinking enough and they don't spend enough time by themselves or with themselves and even let their brain free think and gaze off into the stars or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. The issue is people, right, when they wake up, they're in a rush to get to work. And then when they get to work, they're busy at work. And then they're in a rush to get home. And then when they're at home, they play mom or dad role. And they're busy all the way till it gets to the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then even at the end of the day, they throw on Netflix and then go to sleep watching Netflix. So their brain never has time
never
to even
off.
Just... Yeah. It's just a bunch of busy shit that's going on.
Yeah.
So that they can't really even look at their brain one-on-one and just be with itself.
It's noise. That's what I call
correct.
It. And rather it's actual noise or noise, like visually... That's why I like living here. Like, everyone's like, would you ever move back to California? I'd say, hell no.
Yeah.
Because there's noise everywhere. You cannot disconnect. You can't disengage. You can't get away from the noise. It's everywhere. And, like, when I'm out there, like, I'll do trips. And you just get outside for a sec, shut your car off, and, like, just
listen
my to dad nature. Calls it enjoy the nothingness.
Yeah,
like it's just the most, you know, and you can just really disconnect. And like that's what I always shoot for. When I get too much noise in my system, I know because my heart.
You need to get away. When you start feeling anxiety or this, that, the other, you get away.
And why wouldn't – it's not like running from it. It's what my body doesn't want it. And like I always – even with
negative – You're listening to yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And with – like when I was working at Black Bear, I would just, you know – I always have such a hard time going into work because I'm a really big like empath, just feed off everyone's energy. And
yeah.
Servers would come in just bitching about their table and this and that. I'm like, why are you guys complaining? It's probably because you're getting shitty tips and it all, you know, just, it's all a vicious thing. But it's like, how come I'm over here in my own bubble? Like I'll be, it's almost like I'm always in my own world. Mm-hmm. I have headphones
in. Blinders on,
basically. Just like me and my table or me and my client, whatever it is. Like, and it's just me in my zone. That's, I don't know, just disconnected from everyone else's noise so that I can focus on me. And like, I say, like, taking negative energy out. Like, why would you ever let that inside your atmosphere, like your ecosystem, like you were saying? But, you know, like, it's not necessary. So why let it in? It's not running from it. It's just disconnecting. And now it's
like, how many meals have you had by yourself? No, the reason why I asked that, because some people literally, you know, there was a moment there where I'd wake up sometimes and I'd go, it wasn't Black Bear. What's the other one that's a bear right here in town?
Bear Paw.
Bear Paw. Yeah. So, I'd go there and just have breakfast by myself or whatever and told a few people, I like sometimes getting up a little early and just having breakfast by myself to where there's no noise, right? And some people just think it's so weird. How do you eat by yourself? Or some people will go to the movies by themselves.
I did that all the time when I got divorced. I loved it.
But some people can't even have a meal.
They've never known how.
That's interesting.
It's an interesting concept. It's awkward for them because they sit there and eat, and all they're thinking is about what everybody else around them is thinking about them eating by themselves. Like, is this person a loner? Is this person that
– Feel so bad. Why are you eating alone?
Don't feel bad.
Yeah.
Feel good.
Yeah, I know.
I don't have to deal with the same shit you're dealing with. I could actually just be with me and enjoy a meal.
And that's when you can really like be confident in that. Mm-hmm. And it's an ego thing, really.
Yeah.
Like you're literally exactly wondering what everyone else around you is thinking.
You can't, you can't learn to like diminish that ego until you do learn to be comfortable with yourself alone.
Absolutely.
Because that's where you actually do stop giving a fuck what everybody thinks.
Yeah. I think that that's a good point. And we should, you know, you guys should challenge yourself to probably go out and have a meal by yourself.
Yeah.
I don't care if you have a wife or a husband or a bunch of, you know, kids or whatever it is.
Yeah, you need you time.
When's the last time that you did that? Probably the majority of people listening have either rarely or never had a meal by themselves at a restaurant.
I've talked about it before on our podcast, but like when I went through my divorce, I used to go to these group therapies, right? Mm-hmm. Self-improvement groups. Mm-hmm. And we would always challenge people to go sit on a rock out in the desert for four hours.
By themselves.
Really?
God, for 4 hours.
Kel did it. You did it right once?
Oh, yeah. Dude, we do weird challenges like that just to get people
kind of cool, though,
comfortable
honestly.
With being alone.
It was probably weird a little bit at first.
Dude, one of the most freeing things is when you really do reach a point in your life where you really don't give a fuck what other people think.
That's what I like about you in terms of being willing to take a step backwards and do all of these things. And you've spent a lot of time by yourself. And when you do that, you start caring less and less about what other people think.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're around people all the time, then you care about what people think all the time. You know what I mean? Because you're analyzing your scenario, right? But when you spend a lot of time by yourself and you really look within, you don't give a shit anymore because you kind of know who you are and where you're trying to go and this. And you're, like you said, you've processed a lot of thoughts by yourself without a lot of people around. So when people are around, you kind of know more so who you are than they do.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
You know what I mean? I believe that to be true.
Oh, yeah. And I know, like, especially when I get to creative mode, like when I'm out by myself, I don't let anybody in my ears. And like, I'm making what I want to make. And sometimes it's so impulsive. And I get done with a video and I'm like, what was the purpose of this? And I actually was talking to a photographer when I was in Mexico recently. And he's like, I showed him one of my videos that I just haven't showed anybody.
Yeah.
So off, so random. And he's like, dude, that's badass. He's like, what made you do it? I was like, I was inspired by something. And that's where that not giving a shit is or comes into play. He's like, don't give a shit because I know you don't.
Yeah.
He's like, post it and say, what do you guys, what does this mean to you guys?
Yeah.
You know, and because I do so many projects that are for just other people.
Yeah.
And when I can go and create something for myself, it's most likely going to be super abstract, you know, and just super random and
way out of left
make,
field.
Yeah. And it's probably not going to make sense to a lot of people. And a lot of things that I do don't make a lot of sense to the majority of people. And I've never done what everyone else is doing, and I don't do it in rebellion. I do it because it just doesn't work for me, and I don't like doing what everyone else does. So is that what matters? Or
I think the problem is people aren't happy because they care so much about what other people think that they're looking for happiness around them by getting acknowledgement from other people. When you don't need that, then you can actually be happy. You can't be happy.
Well, and then what does it do, dude? It attracts more of success, abundance, things that you want in your life to you.
When you don't give a shit,
versus these guys that are coming to Black Bear bitching about their tables and bitching. Yeah. You're just over there in your own world, man. Yeah. Like, I'm just happy for every dollar I get, dude.
So,
and then all of a sudden you get more of them.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that then, because that's a great point. Because the more that you've done whatever it is that you've wanted to do that made you happy, your income has increased, hasn't it?
Yeah, I don't understand why, and I feel such a strong resentment from a lot of people because of that, and those people who...
Well, that's because they're struggling, and you're doing what you want, and you're making money, right? You see what I'm saying? So they're living a life based upon what they think that they should be doing, or what society says that they should be doing, or what they worry about other people think about them, right? That's what dictates their actions and what they do. So when they see somebody not living that way and are far more free, you're making more money, all of these good things are happening when you're just doing what you want to do,
it doesn't
make them feel good about themselves, right? You got to understand that
because
they see you just freely, okay, I'm going to go to Arizona, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm sleeping in my ambulance next to the lake and going to sit on top and, you know, do whatever the hell I want to do, right? Gaze at the stars. When other people are living a life based upon what they were told to do all growing up, you got to do this, you get a good job, you go to school, you retire at 65, this, that, you've got to fit into the mold.
Yeah.
The mold doesn't work.
I'm making my own.
Exactly. The mold doesn't work. We already know that now because, you know, suicide rates are going up, depression rates are going up. The only reason why that shit is happening is because so many people are trying to please other people. And when you're trying to please somebody else, there's no way you can find internal happiness.
Yeah, exactly.
Like if I'm trying to make Kel happy or whatever it is, and I'm trying to appease him, her, where's the time for me?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I want to talk about you starting to shift gears. And a lot of the decisions you've made are just off the wall, random, weird, based upon social norms, right? Decisions. Living out of vans, taking a step backwards. You got weird looks. You know, maybe people talking about it. Oh my God, Mitch lives out of a van. Well, dude, what the hell is he doing? You know, all of these things happened, whether you know it or not, it happened, right? Same with us starting a podcast or having an Instagram. What the hell? What does Kel and Trevor think that they're doing? Like, who do they think they are?
Yeah.
Right? That's because, again, they're projecting their own insecurities on us or on you or whatever it is. Okay.
Yeah.
So you decided to, you know, go into like videography, right? You do that.
Sorry, we haven't even talked about the business.
I know.
Yet,
we haven't
man.
Even we've been talking about
we're just having a good time out here.
Yeah, living a free life out there. So that's what he does, okay? So it's Rose Reels.
Rose's
Reels.
Yeah, it's the company name, but.
So what he does is basically videography work, right? For Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, or, you know, you've done some real estate stuff, whatever it is, right? So you got to the point to start dabbling in that, started making a little bit of money. You know, we talked about this prior to, you know, jumping on the podcast. And when you first start out, most people, they try to price their prices below what the average is, right? We did that even with Easier Accounting, okay?
Yeah.
We're like, okay, here's
we're going to enter the market.
We're entering the market. We're the new guys, so we need to price below everybody else so that we can get attention.
We're going to get our asses kicked and show our value.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. And so the problem with that is who do we attract at a lower price point?
The bitches and complainers,
The people that bitch and complain,
the tire
right?
kickers.
Exactly.
You know.
So
you try to tell me what to do, right?
And that's what we talked about, okay? Yeah. And I he said, hey, you know, I talked to Buddy, which was one of our employees at the time, and he said, man, you need to be doing this, that, the other. You should be making more money. And then it made you really look inside and then you adjusted your price points. Okay, so you adjusted your price points, and what happened when you adjusted your price points when you started valuing you more?
Did exactly what I needed it to do, and that was weaned off the, you know, scraps, the ones who were bitching and complaining,
yeah,
and kept on the ones who do value my work and value my time just as much as I do.
Okay.
And like I was talking about previously, it was turning my craft into a mass assembly line and a job. And that was something I was definitely not trying to do for myself. And you can't spend, you know.
Let's talk about that. Because you were spending what, like 50, 60 hours a week just in front of a screen.
At least.
You know,
yeah.
At least.
Behind the camera or screen, either one.
Yeah. But editing just, and all that. And then it felt like you wanted to get into something that you had the ability to control a little bit more of your schedule, work when you want, you know, whatever. Yeah. And then it turned into deadlines and this and that. And like you talked about. And it ended up feeling
like a job.
Imbalanced.
It felt imbalanced, and you weren't as creative probably as you normally were. You weren't able to produce like you wanted to produce because now it's a job rather than me enjoying my craft.
Yeah,
right?
Now I got to get this done rather than let's see what we can do with this.
You know,
let's loosen up and do what Mitch does rather than this is what they need. I got to crank it out in this amount of time. It's done. You know, and when you're maxed out on time, and when I was seeing the numbers I was seeing, I'm like, this ain't it then.
Yeah, it's not working.
This ain't the long run. This ain't the career.
I can't
do whatever.
It like this.
Yeah, this ain't it. If I'm, you know, my eyes are over here pulsing and I'm
staring
this,
at a screen all
yeah,
day.
I'm like, this ain't it. So I'm like, something's got to change. And I was bitching and bitching and bitching and bitching to every person about it. And they all had the same answer. Raise your prices.
Mm-hmm.
My dad snapped at me, and that was another big one too. He's like, and then Buddy was like, you know, the one who really kicked it into gear for me.
Says, dude,
put it into perspective.
Yeah, like value yourself a little bit more, raise your prices.
It's just a fear of getting.
Let's jump into that. So everybody's telling you to raise your prices. You're scared and nervous about raising your prices because why? Why were you scared and nervous about raising your prices? You were worried about losing people. So I guess you have to be willing to let go of what you have in order to reach what your true potential is.
Yeah.
But the problem is people are scared to let go of making $2,000 a month or $3,000 a month. Like that's certainty for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they
Comfort.
Know for a fact
Comfort.
That they could do that. But maybe if you hold on to that forever, that's will be your forever.
Yeah.
The problem is you know, we did a podcast about raising your rates because he had a cousin or something that was a photographer that mm-hmm. had a lower price point. And again, people are bitching, nagging, this, that, the other.
The customer base was just unpleasable.
Yeah.
It was never cheap enough, right?
Yeah. It's just so weird. And we were talking right before the podcast. I'm like, dude, my guess is when you were at a lower rate, everybody was trying to direct you and say, I want this. I want it like this. I want it like this. And then when you value yourself more and you increase your price point, they're like, okay, this guy knows what he's doing. I'm just going to let him do his thing.
I'm going to let the expert do his thing. I'm going to ask him what he thinks about this.
Exactly. Right. And then that's exactly what happened, right?
Yep, absolutely. I mean, a couple other clients when it's – I do a makeup artist's YouTube,
mm-hmm.
and she's really, you know, big on coloring and stuff like that. And
so she has her opinions
and
stuff.
Yeah, to what I see is different, which – you know, and that's where it all came down to. It's like, I will do anything you need for this, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, and I don't have an issue with it. And so now we balance that out and we're good. But yeah, a lot of like other, you know, clients who come my way that are just random pop-ins, like, they're like, Mitch, I love your work.
Yeah.
It's the best I've ever seen. I'm like, is that so?
You
know, and I'm like, you know.
So you're surprised, you know, you're surprised by it a little bit or what?
Well, but it's like, it's funny that, you know, when those kind of people come up to you versus some other clients, you know, who may not value you as much, you know, like those scraps. Like, why would you said you're scared to let go of that $2,000 a month of scraps when you can, like,
you can make four grand, five grand, six grand, or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Or just... I don't know. It's just nice to feel valued as doing what I do. And it's like when a client comes to me and says, Mitch, I like your vision. I like where your head's at. I love just do you.
Yeah.
Make it look, you know. And I've never disappointed thus far. I mean, I was just down in Mexico, shot a wedding for, you know.
Most videographers hate weddings, bro.
Yeah.
I've found that out.
Yeah, they do.
Because it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, and that's why I usually don't. But this was, you know, I've known this guy since I was 3 years old.
Gotcha.
And
so it's kind of like a homie. You're like, dude, I'll do it for you.
Especially going down there during this, man. Yeah. He was like waiting for me to text. Can't make it.
Ain't
not going to do it. Not going to do it. And, you know, I got, you know, quarantined for 10 days when I came back from
fitness
culture.
Yeah, dude, I live in a van. I'm good. Ain't nobody around when I'm by the lake, dude.
But so. I was like, we're all in this, man. I was like, you're my brother. Like, you know, let's, you know, and he just did above and beyond for, you know, what he needed to do. And we had just such an amazing time. And it was why I like doing weddings. Of course, it's so much pressure. And unfortunately, some people are super picky. But I love it when they just let me do me. And I can create a love story. And like just them. Yeah. And that wedding was them. Mm. I brought in just so much emotion during the ceremony. And
that's probably because they knew you and they trusted you.
Yeah.
Right? So if somebody called you off the internet that doesn't know who the hell you are, they're probably going to try to direct you a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
Like, hey, can we get this shot? Like, I want it like this.
Yeah.
I saw it in somebody else's video and it was perfect.
I just had someone ask me, they're like, do you do photos for video or photos for weddings? And I'm like, I've only done one.
Yeah.
So I don't even have a website, dude.
Yeah.
I've done all that I've done and I don't even have a website.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, that's the first thing they do before they, you know, start getting clients or whatever. And yes, I need to do it, you know, just for portfolio purposes and just to show people like this is the kind of stuff I can do, but just haven't gotten it done. But they asked me, do you do photos? And I'm like, yeah, I can do photo, of course. And they're like, what comes with it? And I'm like, what do you mean?
Pictures.
Yeah, I'm like, pictures. And that may sound like such a, you know, like...
What comes with it? A fucking handshake?
Some people go like
above... It comes with a check that you write to me, and then I give you pictures.
No, it's just so funny, though, because I'm like, what do you mean what comes with it? I'm like, I'm going to cover your whole day. You know what I mean? I'm like... But you know, some photographers go above and beyond, do the whole scrapbooking thing, and like all that kind of stuff. But that just, I mean, I don't put enough time into weddings to where I... can get to that point.
Yeah,
I mean, of course it can't.
Is that not your goal? You don't
want to. It's not my goal. Yeah, it's not my passion.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I shouldn't say that because I like being an all knowing. I like being able to do real estate and
weddings and then YouTube stuff.
I never like not having to say no. Like with real estate, if they say, "Can you do still photos?" Yeah. Can you do 3D Matterport? Yeah. Can you do aerial photography? Yeah. Can you do video? Yeah. Inside and outside. You know, like I want to never...
Always just working on the craft, right?
Yeah. And just... Yeah. And so far, it's going to take so long. I'm still so young in the game, you know?
But
I'm doing what is apparently working for me. And I'm just going to keep riding it out and just branching out to doing those things. Like, I'm not that good at weddings, so let's make me better at weddings.
Yeah.
Let's take a little more time into this and let's drop my ego and learn from these people who are amazing instead of, I'm a photographer too, but I don't need to learn from you.
Yeah.
Because I already know.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you don't. Learn from everyone.
Yeah.
Learn their side and their side and their side, and then you can come to yours.
Even if you learn 1% from 100 different people, you're 100% better than what you were.
Exactly.
Right? You don't need to take 100% of what they do and absorb it all, but take what you can from it, right?
Yeah.
So prior to the podcast, we were talking a little bit. Guys, you need to realize that for the most part, most people's inventory is their time, right? And so as you continue to get busier and busier and busier, your time is now more valuable. Right. And so that's really what it comes down to, whether it is a photographer, whether it is a hairstylist, whether it is, I mean, it doesn't matter, a tattoo artist, it could be a plumber or whatever industry you're in. As you start to spread yourself thin, you need to increase your prices because your time is more valuable because you're needed, obviously, or else your schedule wouldn't be full.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when you do that, if anything, you'll see an increase in income. You will not see a decrease, okay? Your brain plays tricks on you. It's seeking comfort, seeking what it already knows, which is a certain level of income. You need to separate yourself from that and put yourself in a situation where you can get something more, but you are ultimately the individual holding you back, okay? Mitch was an individual that held him back because he ultimately had multiple people telling him, well, raise your prices. Fear and uncertainty held you back from something that could have been much greater. And now we know for certain
it is much greater it once is. You did yep. raise your prices, right?
Absolutely.
So tell me just a little bit about, you know, what your long-term goals are, because right now it's just kind of like, you know, you're enjoying what you're doing. Are you wanting to turn a company into having, you know, two or three videographers working for you at one point? Or is this something that you just plan on doing solo forever and just kind of living life however you want to live it?
So as far as goals goes, I'm, as far as scaling a videography or a video production company, it's kind of difficult to do, you know, as far as everyone's like, why don't you hire someone to do your real estate stuff? It's like, okay, then I would have to put just having an employee that I'm going to have to now
manage somebody else.
Now yeah. he's under me.
Yeah.
So he goes to this house and, you know, what if he stole something or doesn't show up on time or doesn't do this or doesn't do that? It's just, you know, managing that. And I'm like, do I want that stress for myself? And
what it's if like, he kills it though?
Could.
Or she kills it.
And it might. And it could.
See what
absolutely.
I'm
absolutely.
See where your brain's going right now?
Yeah. It's going to the doubts straight up.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten to that point to where.
You're just really enjoying where you're at right now?
Yeah. And I want to keep going on, you know, but I do need to pump the brakes and, you know,
prioritize
really
because I figure out where, yeah. really where you want to take it.
Exactly. And I plan on, as far as like, I plan on using this tool to invest into real estate like I've been doing.
So this is a vehicle. This is what you love to do. This is
using
a way. This is a vehicle to make money, mm-hmm. to ultimately make more money.
Grow bigger folds. Yeah.
Yeah. Have multiple different areas where you can have, you know, rental income or your Airbnb property and things like that.
Yeah.
Right.
The goal would be to make as much as I can now and just start accumulating single home families or condos or whatever it is, something to where 250,000, 300,000, whatever it is. But if I can get 3 or 4 or 5 or whoever mm-hmm. knows how much I can, I mean, at this young age, you know, hit 55, say I'm 25 and have 5 under my belt or yeah. 4 under my belt, whatever. It's like, those are paid for, man. And do whatever I want with them. I can either use them as a stream for retirement or, you know, sell one and have a nice little chunk and yeah. keep
yeah.
the rest.
Yeah,
or, you know, whatever
it is.
When
you need to pull equity out.
Yeah, so I plan on using the video as a tool to, you know, start leveraging with real estate and then.
I think it's awesome, man. I mean, that you get to do shit you like to do. You get to be creative and be you and make a living at it. But I think the lesson today in talking with you, dude, is like a few lessons. Like, first of all, energy is a really real thing, man. You want to check good energy. You want to attract, like, you know, like raising your rates and getting what you're worth. Like, you gotta work on you, man. You gotta have that alone time. You gotta be able to get creative with your own mind and get comfortable being alone. But you also gotta be disciplined in, like, where no one's gonna take care of me in my future, like you said. Like, no one's gonna take care of me. So what can I be doing right now to set myself up, right? Because we are gonna reach a time in our 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever it is, where it's like, man, we can't do everything we used to be able to do. And like, who's going to take care of me? Yeah. And so you're already disciplined at 21 years old. People yeah. aren't thinking like that at your age. And that's a lesson for people at your age. Like I was telling my ex-sister-in-law last night, I'm like, damn, I wish I would have been doing that shit at 20 years old. You know, when I, you know, because I was already working,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I was always just trying to survive. Like, you got to be disciplined and peeling that money off and putting it towards your future. You're buying land. You're putting money in investments. You're thinking about what can I continue to do? More real estate, things like that, right? That's really going to take care of when you're older. And you can continue doing the shit you love when you're in your elderly ages, right? Mm-hmm. But you can be taken care of. And so, yeah. I don't know, man. I love getting yeah. young people
with the right
talking
mindset.
With young people, they're like already thinking about their future. They're already disciplined enough to peel off that money and sacrifice some of the things that you want right now, lifestyle things or ego things, to actually put your money to work for you. Because I mean, dude, at the end of the day, that's what you got to do to really be taking care of yourself in the future.
Yeah,
like, absolutely. You got to be peeling off some of what you got now to work for you.
Yeah, let's be real. I mean, you are only one individual, and you only have so many hours in a day.
Yeah.
So you need to find a vehicle that pays you for your time to where you could make money and then eventually have that money start making you money, whether it is real estate or whatever it is.
You can do it at any level.
You could do it at any level, yeah. flat out. But
Mitch might not want to scale his photography business to be the biggest photography business, but he can be disciplined in investing his money to work for him and have steal millions and millions and millions of dollars when
he can get to the point where he's making 10 grand a month just kind of doing his own thing. And that 10 grand a month, again, you've already made some of the sacrifices, right? Living in renting a room with a shower is now amazing because of where you've been, right? Mm-hmm. And what's sad is there's people that have homes and things like that or apartments or whatever that listens to this podcast, and they can't even fathom giving up their $400 a month car to buy a $3,000 Toyota Camry just to save that $300-$400 a month, which in 10 years, you're talking about $3,000 or $4,000 a year. So you're talking about $30,000 or $40,000 in 10 years, and then you're talking about interest that's compounded on top of that. The reality is people just need to think bigger in terms of a longer period of time, because time will come and go. You know, I never thought I'd be 35 years old. I remember being your age and making forever, like $1,500 in a week and being like, okay, here's my car payment. That's $500. I got $1,000. I called the friends and said, let's go to the bar. We're partying. I got $1,000 to spend.
Yeah.
So I wasn't like you at your age, right? I was more of...
I wish I could have started sooner, dude.
Fuck. Yeah, I know. Man. Like, dude, I wasn't like you.
That's why I want other people to learn too, man.
That's why I come to you guys or anybody who's above me or done things that I have not done. Mm-hmm. It's like, why would I learn the hard way when I don't have to? Mm-hmm. If I have the resources, why can't you just, why do you need
but you
to learn
think
the hard
like
way?
That because you've spent enough time alone.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So.
Yeah,
I believe that. I'm a 100% believer that because some of the things that you've done, it's put you in a different state of mind than other people. Right? So
isolation, I
believe that wholeheartedly. So when you spend that much time alone, you're forced to think. Your brain is still going, and when there's no distractions and your brain's going, it's starting to go like, shit, where do I want to be when I'm 25 or 30 or 35?
That's all I think about.
But because you've spent time alone. So the issue is if your brain is constantly going and busy, absorbing everything that's going on, whether it's at work, whether it's home, and then it shuts down to go to sleep, and then it's busy again, how does it ever have time to think about the future? It doesn't. All you're thinking about is today or shit. What is it? Thank God it's Friday, TGIF or whatever, shit like that, right?
What's Friday versus Monday or Sunday?
It's all the same shit, right?
I don't keep track of days no more.
Yeah. Again, I think people just need to spend more time alone. I think people need to spend more time reflecting about what they truly want rather than trying to just stay busy and worrying about what other people think. Right. When they can get to a level like that, then they're freeing themselves for more opportunities, right? Limited thinking is the only thing that will really hold somebody back. You were limited in your thinking at one point until you took the step to raise your rates. And everything worked out.
Yeah.
Right? Again, you're just projecting your own bias on the situation, right? Like, well, what if this? What if that? And that's why I said, well, what if they go into the house? Again, it's the same scenario. It's now on replay with a new scenario. So you just need to catch yourself. When you're talking about the what ifs, you can't just automatically default to the negative what ifs, but that's what the brain normally does in order to protect you. Okay. So that should be a trigger and say, well, shit, my brain's now trying to work against me and keep me where I'm at inside of a comfort zone, right? Yeah. What it already knows to be true and certain rather than experiencing uncertainty. What I liked about Ed Milet, and he's talked about this a few times lately, he goes, the times that you are the most happy is when you are experiencing a bunch of different shit when you're a kid. You're touching this, you're doing that, you're running. Like, you don't know shit, but you're just, every day is a brand new experience and you're absorbing new shit. The fact is, your brain is meant to continue to grow. And the reason why people get depressed is because they're not growing, and they know they're not growing. Yeah. They're staying stuck in the exact same scenario year after year after year. Your brain is meant to continue to grow, but by the time we hit, 18 or 21 and get out of high school or get out of college, we stop the growth process, and then your brain becomes dormant, your life then becomes dormant, and you're not creating any new experiences for yourself. So the idea is to continue to find uncertainty, because when you were a kid and you were uncertain of everything and you were exploring all options, even the dumb ones, because you burn your hand on this, you take your bike off that jump that you shouldn't have done, but you did it anyways, and you end up crashing and getting back up and doing it again, and you ended up making it work, right? You didn't ever regret the crash because you ended up figuring it out, making the adjustment, and then you landed that trick in front of your homies, and now you look like a badass, you know, or whatever it is. That's the issue, is I think a lot of people stay dormant in life because they just continue the same cycle over and over and over. You're not dormant. You're continuing to experience new things. You move from California to Utah at 18 years old. You end up getting into your own place. Then you end up going into a van, and you're jumping from thing to thing and just experiencing life as a whole. And I think that that's why you feel more fulfilled and you are more certain of yourself, or have the experiences that you have at 21 years old, and the vision that you have at 21 years old is based upon the experiences that you've created. You know, that's what it is.
With what you were just saying, like where you put yourself in a state where you're just constantly growing and growing and growing. It's like I know that when I'm in my van, especially the first stages of it, when it's uncomfortable, dude. You hear cars around you. You don't know what the hell's outside.
Your brain is like, man, what if somebody breaks the window?
Yeah, you're constantly what-ifing and this and that. And then you find a little bit more comfort in it. But to take that leap and be in an to put yourself in a state of uncomfort and then be able to make that okay, it's nice. And
then you start realizing that uncomfortable scenarios
work out.
Is really where you've grown a lot.
No, absolutely. And I was going to say, when I started morphing, like during the winter time, I just couldn't shower. Like, so I moved. That's why I got that room. And when I'm in a house, I'm serious, dude. Yeah. I feel like a stagnant. And I feel myself starting to morph into what society may be wanting me to do. And I'm like, shit, man, it's time to get back in there. Like,
you get back in the van and then go gone for a week or so.
Yeah, or just be living in it and just... You know, even a couple of days, just whatever, just to reground myself, because I know when I'm doing house life and normal society life, it's steering me that way. Like, it's just crazy though. I when you were just saying that, I was just realizing how much when you put yourself in that uncomfortable,
in an uncertain environment where you have no idea what the end result's going to be.
Yeah, yeah, but
you end up figuring it out.
Yeah,
absolutely. And you end up making it work,
because that's what we're wired to do.
You figure things out.
That's just as bad as you don't want to believe it. And, you know, whatever, you do figure it out. You can put yourself in the worst scenario you can think of and you're going to figure it out, because that's what we're wired to do. And maybe that's me just being super optimistic, but that's just the way
it is. No, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
If somebody comes to somebody right now and says, you're fired from your job, you're gone. You had no control over that, but you're going to find a way to make it work. You're forced to make it work. You're forced into an uncertain scenario. In a lot of cases, people end up shifting gears or doing something different and finding something much better. And they look back and say, damn, that was good for me.
Yeah.
I'm glad that happened. But they weren't confident enough to do it themselves. They were forced into uncertainty, but they still were able to find a solution. We are problem solvers as human beings. We'll make shit work.
Yep.
That's just the reality of it. So if you put yourself in an uncomfortable situation, you'll find the solution to whatever that is, right? And you'll grow a lot from it. And so I applaud you for some of the stuff that you've done at such a young age. Mm-hmm, you know, like, it's really weird to see. You know, because it's just very uncommon.
It's cool, man, because it's what we all wish we would do. Every person you talk to in their 30s, 40s, 50s, they're getting close to those you know,
they wish they would have had those or whatever. Like,
but I listen to that, and that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
When they say, fuck, I wish I would have done that, it's like, I'm going to do that. Because they said, and they're, you know, why are they having these regrets? I don't want to have those regrets. Mm-hmm. And like, it's just listening to the people who have been there, done that, so you don't have to make the same mistake. It's like, why are we here to repeat life cycle, everybody? Well, or are we here to progress? And like, this guy did this jump, so let's take what he ended with and let's grow, rather than let's just do what everyone else. What I like, you know what I mean?
Like, I like to tell my kids all the time, like, listen, man, you can be dumb. Smarter, you can be brilliant. Like, if dumb people never learn from their mistakes, smart people always learn from their mistakes and they adjust and they improve. Brilliant people learn from other people's mistakes. But dude, you got to be careful, because you can't just listen to elderly people's or people above you's advice, right? Yeah. Advice is horrible.
Learn who to take advice.
You have to learn from other people's results, right? So people are saying, like, I wish I would have saved more when I was younger. And you can clearly see that their life is shitty and they have financial problems. It's like, yeah, and I need to listen to that advice I'm getting right now. I need to start saving younger, right? You got to listen. You got to learn from other people's results. You
know? Or if somebody says. Because
you get a lot of horrible advice. Even people like your parents, man. Yeah. Like, I could get horrible advice from my parents right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I can learn from their mistakes and their experiences and their results.
But if they're giving you financial advice and you look at their financial situation, you're like, well, I don't want to be in that situation, so why would I listen? Yeah. So tell me what you would do.
Right. And it's then funny, just do the exact opposite.
My mom, very, very, very poor financial decisions. My dad, very, very good financial decisions. But they both, my dad is proof that it works, and my mom is proof that this ain't the way. Do what dad did, you know, or do what, listen to dad. Like, and she's now, she's gotten to the point where she's learned, but doesn't apply those. Like, she'll
there's people, you know, that absorb it, that know the information, but they don't apply information.
Exactly.
Like, everybody, you can ask 100 people, do you think it's smart to invest your money? 100 people are going to say, well, yeah. I mean, that's what rich people do, right?
Yeah.
But out of those 100 people, how many people are really doing it? See what I'm saying? Yeah, so everybody knows what to be true. Like, should you sacrifice and put money away and save money and do this and, you know, invest your money? Yeah, everybody knows that to be true. Like, let's be real. Everybody knows if you go to the gym every single day for at least 45 minutes to an hour and eat healthy, that you will be healthy.
Yeah.
Everybody knows for a fact. That is certain. If you worked out every day and you ate healthy, that you would be by default healthy. Right?
But are they going to do it?
But how many people do it?
Yeah, exactly.
See what I'm saying? So we can all know what to be true, but that doesn't ultimately mean people are disciplined enough to actually follow through with it.
Yeah.
That's where the issue lies. A lot of people, because, you know, they it's just new and different, and if they don't know, if somebody had a time machine where you can go in, you know, ahead of time and say, hey, if you do this, 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 and this, everybody would make those exact decisions if they could see where they would end up. But we know for certain, if you eat healthy and exercise, where you would end up. So why wouldn't you do it?
And it's funny when you talk about sacrifice, like, everyone thinks it's just like, gosh, this is gonna suck and this and that. It's like, I'm sacrificing. I've been sacrificing.
Yeah.
Like, I really sacrificed when I was, you know, at Black Bear and all that stuff. Yeah. But now I'm in my vehicle using it, but I'm still sacrificing to an extent. But
well,
I'm
you can
good.
Have more.
Yeah. And you can, it's balancing it. It's, you know, it's time management. Like, everyone's, oh, you can't, you know, start making money or save money if you go out and party. It's like, absolutely you can, because I do it every day.
Yeah.
I do it every day.
Yeah, you might not be able to have a house and an expensive car and party.
Yeah.
But you can live out of a van and party.
Do I rage? No. Yeah. No, I don't. But I enjoy myself.
Yeah.
I just, like, some people drink soda, I'll have a beer.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, leave it at that. Or,
well, we were on a podcast yesterday, David's podcast, and we talked about sacrifice, and he's like, I don't really like to use that word. He's like, I call it investing into yourself.
Great.
So if you reframe,
it's cool how he did reframe it.
Yeah, I mean, that is the definition
you have
of sacrifice.
To sacrifice things that you think you want,
but a sacrifice is
to get what you really want. Sometimes,
yeah, a sacrifice is ultimately investing into yourself, right? Like, you taking a step backwards, living in a van—that is a sacrifice. But at the same time,
it
allows
you,
you
know,
it allows you to have more money, right?
Yeah.
So you're investing into yourself by taking that step backwards. So I think they kind of really do go hand in hand.
Yeah, but, I agree.
So let me ask you this: what advice would you give 21-year-olds? You know, because you can't give a 40. I mean, I guess you could give a 40-year-old advice, but your age group, your demographic right now.
Not.
Yeah, you know, exactly. So,
advice I could give is
in terms of just life or business, and, you know, that in general. Some of your experiences.
I'd say, take some steps back, see where you're at. Is that what you want for yourself? Most likely, it's going to be no.
Yeah.
And try to figure out a goal or long-term goals, and of course they change at this age. They're constantly changing. Everything changes, but if you can figure out some sort of thing that you're so passionate about or you desire so much, like, it's how you're going to get there. Like, I desired a lifestyle with financial freedom. I wanted to use my camera. I wanted to film. I didn't know how it was all going to put together. So I'm thinking, I want to be a flight attendant. And I'm a flight attendant. I'm going to, you know, be able to get free travel, and I'll be able to travel these places and record this shit. But that shit don't work.
Yeah.
Do what works for a short period of time. I remember I got a kid hired with Black Bear. Black bear is not the best money, but it works.
Yeah.
Compared to other hourly wage jobs, it's like I'm my own boss. I'm the one who makes myself money. It's all tips, you know.
Yeah. But
do what works for a short period of time until you can get to that next level, and then
where you can buy your freedom a little.
Exactly.
Bit.
And then, but ultimately, find that goal, what that is that you want, you know, that you desire the most, and break it down. Is that a 3-year goal, a 1-year goal, whatever it is? Break it down. 3 years, 2 years. What do you need to do in those from year?
It's called reverse engineering.
Exactly.
So yeah. You project out, and then you scale back all the way to where you're at right now, and develop the steps that you need to take in order to get to the
long-term goal. And hold yourself accountable.
Yeah. Right. Let me ask you this. How do people find you if they want to kind of just connect with you and vibe with you?
Mostly Instagram. The van seems to be the marketing tool. I don't know what it is everywhere.
What's your Instagram handle?
Man Indie Van. Man _ Indie Van.
Yeah. Man?
Man.
_
Indie Van.
Indie Van.
Yeah.
INDIE
van.
Okay. Yep.
And so that's the, it's going to be pictures of you and your van?
It's going to be a whole
bunch of shit.
Wide just variety. Random. Yeah. Client stuff, my stuff.
Yeah.
Bunch of random stuff.
But life and business. Basically your life.
My life. Yeah.
Right?
My life is my business. So.
Guys, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I'm going to read a review real quick. This one's a short one. It's from Jeanette Tapp 2222. It says 100% real and raw. One of the best podcasts I've came across. So we appreciate the review. Guys, make sure, again, you guys share this information with other people, friends, family members. You are who you hang out with, right? So you want these individuals to absorb the exact same content that you're absorbing so that everybody's ultimately leveling up, right, that you surround yourself with. So if you enjoyed the podcast, make sure you write a review, all that good stuff. We wish you guys well. Hope you guys are staying safe during this, I guess what the media would say, pandemic.
Pandemic,
yeah.
Yes.
Da, 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 you da, know? Da,
yeah.
So guys, kick ass. Stay safe.